Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
You're here just in time to hear the podcast on some great football history headlines from October 2nd. We're going to talk a lot about the Washington Redskins and the Washington football team today and go back into NFL history and college history for some great legends of the games in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, football friends, and welcome to the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch Podcast. I'm Darren Hayes from PigskinDispatch.com, and we're going to go over the news and events and headlines of football for October 2nd. We'll start right off. October 2nd, 1932, the Washington football team has its very first franchise NFL game under the guise of the Boston Braves. They played the Brooklyn Dodgers at Braves Field in Boston, but lost by a couple of scores that day, 14-0. In October 2nd, 1950, Chicago Cardinal Bob Shaw sets an NFL record with 5 touchdown passes from Redbird quarterback Jim Hardy, who had a total of 6 on a day. The Cards blasted the Baltimore Colts 55-13 in the contest. We time warp to the 1980s, and in particular, October 2nd, 1983, Washington Redskins legendary receiver Art Monk starts the first game of his 183 consecutive streak of having a reception. The Washington club used every catch they could to get from Monk in a 37-35 nail-biter victory over the LA Raiders. That very same day, October 2nd, 1983, the Green Bay Packers put up an NFL record 49 first-half points against the Buccaneers at Tampa Stadium in a 55-14 drubbing of the Bucs. The point tirade was reached with 35 of them being tallied in the second quarter alone. And then we go to the next decade, October 2nd, 1994, the very first time in NFL history that the opposing coaches are a father and a son, as Don Shula led the Miami Dolphins, played against the Cincinnati Bengals, coached by his son David Shula. The older version prevailed as the Dolphins toppled the Bengals 23-7. Next, we're going to party like it's October 2nd, 1999. That's when we had a college football barn burner when the 21st-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide upset number 3 Florida and their 30-game home winning streak in a tight one, 40-39. Sean Alexander, the future Seattle Seahawks standout, crossed the stripe between the pylons 4 times to help the Tide roll. And 2005, October 2nd, the very first NFL regular season game outside of the United States was played in Mexico City as the Arizona Cardinals triumphed over the San Francisco 49ers 31-14 south of the border. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast, and I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team, and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
It's that time in the show when we go to the Hall of Fame birthday segment. For October 2nd, we'll start off in the year 1903, and that's when Miles Lane was born. He was a former halfback from Dartmouth College in the 1925 through the 1927 seasons. The National Football Foundation voted Miles Lane into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1970 and provides the following information on his legend of the game. Miles just may be the greatest scoring weapon that ever wore the Dartmouth football colors. This is exemplified by his 102 total season points as a sophomore in 1925 and ranked second in the nation for scoring. And Dartmouth won the national championship honors per the expert decision of Park H. Davis and the Dickinson system. Again, Miles showed his scoring prowess in 1927 game against the Temple Owls when Lane crossed the opponent's pylon stripe five times and tallied a total of 33 points in the game. That same year, he finished with a total of 18 touchdowns and 125 points, leading the country in that category. Miles was a terrific hockey player as well, earning all intercollegiate honors, and he also had the smarts in school, graduating as an honors student. After graduating, he played pro hockey for the NHL's New York Rangers and later with the Boston Bruins, helping the Bruins win the 1929 Stanley Cup. After he left the ice, he went back to the gridiron to coach Boston University and later assisted coach at Harvard. During World War II, he became a U.S. Naval commander and entered politics and eventually was voted into the New York State Supreme Court. We go a few years later, October 2nd, 1909, that's when Joe Tarzan Kendall was born. He was a Kentucky State halfback, place kicker, punter, and passer. TheFootballFoundation.org informs us that Kendall often used his running ability to avoid oncoming rushers scrambling to buy time to let his receivers get open downfield and then delivering the goods to him. Kendall excelled at Western Kentucky, a junior college, in 1932 and earned third-team All-American honors before enrolling to play at Kentucky State Thoroughbreds program. Kentucky State ran a wide-open offensive system, and this suited Joe's talents, and he thrived. The National Football Foundation voted Joe into their College Football Hall of Fame in 2007. We change out the yearbooks and go to October 2nd, 1922. That was when the birth of End, Bill Swiacki of Columbia University was born. Swiacki's education started at Holy Cross and then was interrupted by Bill serving in the armed forces during World War II. He then enrolled at Columbia when he returned home to civilian life. Bill is noted by the National Football Foundation as the man that brought down Army, and rightfully so. In October 1947, the Army Black Knights football team entered Columbia University's Baker Field with an unbelievable 37-game winning streak in tow. The game was hard-fought and close throughout, much closer than most expected it to be. But then, a little-known End for the Lions would make his mark in football history. It was late in the fourth quarter, and Columbia quarterback Gene Resides received the snap and dropped back to pass. He fired a low fastball that made most of the crowd groan, thinking the ball was going to skip off the turf. But then, almost out of nowhere, long, lanky fingers of Swiacki plucked the ball from the ground just before it could touch the green grass and made the reception at the Army 3-yard line. Two plays later, the Lions punched the ball into the end zone and came away with a 21-20 victory, ending Army's winning streak. Bill had 9 receptions and 1 was for a touchdown in a game. The National Football Foundation voted Bill Swiacki into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1976. Next, we go to October 2nd, 1939. Bob Schlereth, a quarterback from University of Washington, is born. He is most noted as being the first ever 2-time Rose Bowl Most Valuable Player. In the 1960 version of the granddaddy of them all, Bob was the co-MVP of the game, defeating Washington 44-8. That same season, he was voted as a first-team All-American quarterback. The next season, he suffered from a collarbone injury early, but then rebounded later in the season to guide Washington to a victory in the 1961 Rose Bowl over Minnesota 17-7 as the Huskies won the national championship. He was also credited with a 71-yard punt in a game during his sophomore season. One of the most remarkable things is that Bob was legally blind in his left eye, only having 5% vision in it since a childhood fireworks accident stripped him of his sight in that eye. The National Football Foundation voted him into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989. Another Hall of Fame birthday took place October 2nd, 1948, and that belongs to Chuck Dykus, a wide receiver from the University of Arkansas. He was voted as an All-American in 1969 and the 1970 seasons. Chuck averaged over 16 yards per catch during his 3-year career in college and had over 1,800 yards receiving, a pretty good number for that area of college football. The National Football Foundation voted Chuck Dykus into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1999. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcast, is found right here on the Sports History Network.